Blog Talk Radio.
Get up!
The rhythm of being in the flow of Almighty God and the praise that we give him for the privilege to be called his blessed children. Praise the Lord and welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living creator God. Now is the time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father, and his precious and beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and yes, Holy Spirit God, the Triune God. Those three make one. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly and unapologetically, as well as unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one, beloved, with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life, which doesn't start when we get to heaven. No. We are blessed to be covered by God's love, kindness, protection right here on this earth the moment we accept Jesus Christ into our heart and confess him with our mouth. He is our only hope and light for a lost, dark, and dying world that we're living in. That's why it's so important for us to stand up and take our rightful place as believers and let the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus shine through us. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, and I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and that has ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience, will light, ignite, and then fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, because God is not a respecter of persons. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and truth so that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm just happy and excited as always to be back with you to celebrate our Lord Jesus. I'm talking about the Christ. This particular time of year is the holiday season, the Christmas season, when we recognize and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everybody else that's celebrating with Santa Claus and reindeers, and I still ain't figured out what chestnuts roasting in an open fire has to do with the birth of Christ. But please understand, there seems to be another type of Christmas that's imposing on our religious holiday, which is the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, those other folks, we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray that they get a better understanding, but we really don't appreciate them trying to change our religious holy day which is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the season for giving, loving, and caring. And then by the first year, they done forgot all about it. Well, listen, we're not going to forget about our Christian principles because we celebrate Jesus all year long. But for our spiritual enlightenment, we will be embracing the book of Ephesians 6 and 4, where we read the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Gentile church at Ephesus regarding parental guidelines for the favorable outcome of the children. There is a way of parenting where it isn't heavy-handed and has the direct opposite effect of obedience and cooperation. While it may appear on a superficial level to work, on the inside of the child, it is creating rebellion and resistance that will one day become a reality. We must be wise parents when it comes to us sharing God's wisdom with our children for our next generation's success in life. And my special guest, oh, you are going to be blessed. She is school improvement specialist, federal program director at Watson Chapel School District and Division of Learning Services at Arkansas Department of Education. Talking about woman of God, Carrie Williams is here with us, Pine Bluff, Arkansas's very own. And she's going to share with her experiences as an educator. We're going to talk about what it takes to be an educator, the differences of education systems now and what you and I knew back in the day when we were in school. And we're going to talk about some positive things that we can bring to the forefront so that we can give our children the best positive opportunity to be the very best that they can be educationally, morally, spiritually, so that they can be grown-up men and women that we all can be proud of. And then later on in the broadcast, I will be shining our shine artist spotlight on an awesome woman of God talking about gospel artist First Lady. Jennifer Wilson is here. And if y'all know Jennifer Wilson, y'all already know she keep it real for real all the time. So why don't you call your family members, your friends, coworkers, anybody that's in your spirit right now that you believe can use some good godly inspiration as we give God his just due praise, honor, and glory on this fire gospel experience, as well as we encourage you, and yes, you too, to do all that you can do and be all that you can be to glorify our God. We've already had prayer. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit God, for you being in the room and blessing us to honor God and covering our lives with your very presence. Thank you for lighting this fuse that's about to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire. Have your way, Holy Spirit God, as we remove ourselves and get out your way. Go on and light the fuse if you please, Holy God. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Way back on Calvary.
Right here on this fire gospel experience with the sounds of man of God, Isaiah Justice Tart, acknowledging Jesus as the King of Kings and, yes, the Lord of Lords. I want to thank manager promoter Donovan Adams for always sending this so sincerely anointed gospel music. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You make my particular ministry work so much easier with your contribution. I always say that we can do so much better together as we collaborate in building God's holy kingdom right here on earth. My special guest, I'm so excited to have this woman of God here with us today. You're all about to be blessed because this is no lightweight person. As usual on this fire gospel experience, you all know how I do. I bring y'all the very best of the best so that you all can be encouraged and know that there are people out there that don't always get the front row attention and admiration that they do. That's why God created platforms such as Fire Gospel Experience and others, so that these hardworking people can get an opportunity to receive the roses while they can smell them here and now. My special guest, Kerry Williams, is an educator who specializes in working with other educators to focus on action planning that addresses the effective use of the school's implementation of goals, instructional programs, and strategies to meet student needs. She aims to cultivate transformative leadership to achieve cultural change by establishing high expectations for instructional quality, develop effective teams, translate data into action, and generate deep engagement among school and community stakeholders. She currently serves as the District School Improvement Specialist, Federal Program Coordinator, Title III and Title IV Coordinator, Alternative Education Supervisor, Compliance Specialist, 504 Coordinator, District Parent Involvement and Foster Care Homeless Coordinator, Career and Technical Coordinator, and School Culture and Climate Specialist for Watson Chapel School District. I may need to correct that. I believe that's Title III and Title XI Coordinator. I'm going to let her help me out with that because it's been a while since I've read Roman numerals. But listen, Ms. Williams holds an Education Specialist degree in Leadership in Education Administration, a master's degree in instructional technology, and a bachelor's degree in physical education and health. She has had 19 years experience, in and out, as an educator working in a variety of public, private, and higher education settings with diverse student populations. Ms. Williams has served in a number of roles as a classroom teacher, member of the school leadership team, department chair, assistant professor at Henderson State University, and school improvement specialist for Arkansas Department of Education before her current employment at Watson Chapel. She has also spent 7 years in the Army and Georgia National Guard. Ms. Williams' passion is to see all students receive a quality education that will provide opportunities for future goals. Praise the Lord. But in addition to her involvement with Access Incorporated, Ms. Williams is a board member for Ambassadors for Youth and a member of the Citizens Group, United Citizens for Pine Bluff. And with all that being said, my God, my pleasure to introduce to some and to present to everyone else my special guest, one of God. Kerry Williams is here on this Fire Gospel Experience, and I'm glad to have you. Blessings to you, woman of God, Kerry Williams. Welcome to Fire the Gospel Experience. How are you?
I am wonderful and very blessed. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Amen. It is hardworking, experienced, qualified people like yourself that needs to be brought to platforms like this, Sister Williams, so that you can share with us the inner workings of what it is you do, because sometimes appreciation and understanding are not fully implemented when we're so far maybe on the outside and not really understanding what it takes to do what you do. So if you'll be so kind, wherever you like to start sharing your personal story so that my listeners can appreciate who you are, what God has done for your life, feel free to do so right now as I pass you the mic.
Okay, well, first I'd like to start by saying, giving you a little bit of background of why I chose education. So growing up, I'm from a family of educators, and we were, you know, rooted, grew up in the church, and some of my first memories was my Sunday school teachers, Ms. Wilson, Miss Pearl Brown. Those are some of the beginnings of where I really started to enjoy looking at the teaching side of education was in Sunday school.
Okay.
And so my kindergarten teacher was also our first lady. So Miss Romanita Terry was my kindergarten teacher. So we were around each other every day. You know, the our families were very close, and then we saw them on Sundays. So the importance, I grew up with the importance of church, family, school, all kind of wrapped in one.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm sure as you can remember, growing up, you know, back then, we were a village. So we, everyone, you know, was a part of that village, and everybody had an input in your raising and your upbringing. So that's one thing that I think that we've gotten away from as generations have come along, is that village concept, because I always say everything affects everything. What happens at home affects the school and the community. What happens in the community affects the school and home. And what happened at school affects home and community. So it all affects everything. So we all have to be involved everywhere to make sure that we're doing the best we can for our kids.
Amen.
So that's just a little background
so
of what sparked me into education, was by looking at powerful women of God that were leading in education, you know, that just became something that was just ingrained in me. So that became something that I became very passionate about.
Amen. You know, you're so right when you speak about the village mentality, because when we were growing up, I can recall the retired members of our community that intentionally would come and sit out on the porch if they weren't there already at the time that we were let out from school, to keep an eye out from the children that would walk to their homes. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember it. I remember it. Yes.
Amen.
And, you know, and I remember when you do something in school, it was okay with our parents for them to correct you. You know, now we don't have that, but they were able to correct you when they thought you doing something wrong.
They could correct you, and those same elders or other parents in the neighborhood, if they didn't chastise you, they would make sure that they call our parents and let them know, hey, I seen little Terry and I seen little Ronnie doing some stuff they had no business doing. That's what I'm praying, that it's not too late, Sister Carrie, that we can find some semblance of that and recreate that so that generations can really appreciate our neighbors. I know that the devil has these strategies now where it seems like our neighbors are the ones we have to protect our homes from, but it's not always that. We do have loving, caring neighbors in our neighborhoods, and I'm looking to see if we can kind of solicit them to be more active in not only our neighborhoods, but like you're here to represent our educational process. Can you tell us a little bit about what does it take to be an educator in today's climate?
It takes a lot more than what you are taught in school. Let me start with that. And I can say that from being a assistant professor at a university who was teaching future teachers. There's a big gap in the way educators are being educated in order to handle the children of our generation. We are lacking the mental and emotional training necessary to deal with a lot of our students, especially coming from poverty areas. They have a lot of traumas. And, you know, not just in poverty areas. There's some well-off areas that kids present different types of trauma that they bring with them. Things that go on in their homes and when they're younger, they don't just drop those things off at the front door when they come to school. They bring all
That's
of true. Those things to school with them. And educators are not taught, and they are not prepared to deal with those type of issues when it comes to their students. As educators, we're taught how to teach curriculum. We're taught how to deliver instruction, how to look at data, how to analyze that data, and how to improve our students' education. But one thing that they're missing is it's hard to even get to that point when you have a kid that hasn't slept all night because maybe they didn't have a place to sleep, or they haven't eaten since they left school the day before,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're mm-hmm. they're dealing with not knowing where their mama is. All you know, mm. so those are all these issues that these kids are bringing to school with us, and we're not
wow.
in the beginning to okay, let me monitor and adjust where my students are emotionally, so then mm. I can understand how to instruct them properly. So that's a big mm. gap that is missing in our education system. So, you know, just to give you a picture, if you have, I'm just going to say 25 kids. We know a lot of teachers have 30, 32. But let's just say you have 25 kids. Every one of
okay.
those kids have different attitudes, personalities, upbringing, different types of parental involvement. So you have to try, as an educator, to determine and try to figure out how to instruct all 25 of those kids and all of the issues mm. that they bring to the table every day.
Okay. Yeah.
Educators are not trained for that. And that's something mm. that I think is a big cause of us losing a lot of educators. Because
mm-hmm.
true educators that really care about their students and their well-being of students, we take on mm. that emotional trauma from our students. And just
yeah.
when we leave the school that day, we don't drop it off at the day. We take it home with us. We internalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting here
okay.
day after day trying to figure out how to help these kids. And that becomes
mm-hmm.
an overwhelming task. And it becomes very stressful.
I'm glad you said that, Sister Carrie, because I'm sure, without a doubt, just like it hit me when you said that, I was not fully cognizant of the fact of the emotional weight that teachers have to bear, because it's not just like a regular job. It is an emotional investment, because I'm saying that the reason that I believe a lot of educators go into education is because of the love for education as well as the love for children.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're not supplied with all the necessary tools to help children, then it becomes an overwhelming task. And
mm.
I think that's what a lot of people that are outside of education don't really understand, is the stress
mm.
that are on educators. You know, not
mm-hmm.
only are there certain things, content that has to be taught, and it has to be taught
yeah.
in a certain time frame. You know, there's testing.
Mm.
And if your kids aren't
mm-hmm.
prepared or doing well on this test, how does that reflect on you as an educator? But when you get a kid
mm.
that is in the third grade, because that's when the standardized testing starts. So if we get a kid in the third grade and they're on a kindergarten level, how am I supposed to, within a 9-month, 178 days, get that kid from a kindergarten level to a third grade
mm.
level where they should be?
Yeah. Wow.
And mind you, the other 24 kids in the class, they're behind
yeah.
as well. You may have some that are on target. You may have some that are above target. And so as an educator, you have to figure out on a daily basis how to make sure you
mm-hmm.
educate all of those kids, meet them where they are, and then try and strategize to get them where they need to be.
Wow.
Without leaving
That's a lot.
Out those kids that need
mm.
more and those kids
mm.
that are right on the edge. You have so many different obstacles that you have to go through, not to mention
mm.
all the demands that you have from your principal and your department chairperson and your curriculum person
okay.
and the district.
Yeah, yeah.
You have all these things
mm.
that you have to do within a 7-hour period. That's why
yeah.
teaching does not stop when
mm-hmm.
the school bell rings. A lot
yeah.
of time, most teachers do their work after that dismissal bell goes off. That's why you see so many cars at school past 3:30.
Yeah.
Because that's when they do
yeah.
their work. Because it's hard to do. There's so many demands on educators.
And then, God forbid, let's not forget about teachers that are also parents that have children that are in the educational process that's going to require some of their time as well.
Yes. And I hear from a lot of my teacher friends that they are so exhausted. It's hard for them
yeah.
to be able to pull strength from them to be able to help their own kids because they're so drained.
Wow. So can
and
you
I'm
share
not going to even mention
the
pay.
No, well, I'm going to mention it a little bit later because that's part of what people need to understand. Because I grew up in Detroit. I was born here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, but at the age of 6 years old, they took me to Detroit. I spent 40 years growing up in Detroit, and it seemed like every other year, Detroit teachers were always on strike, and the number one thing was low pay and benefits. So can you share with us, maybe as an administrator, education administrator, what are some of the first telltale signs of teacher burnout?
Oh my gosh. It is it's stress. It is when you start seeing teachers not be their usual self, when you're seeing the conversations have, when you're seeing that they are lacking a lot on doing some of those telltale things that they've always done in the classroom. You know, for instance, elementary teachers pride themselves on getting their classrooms ready, their bulletin boards together, making their environment so welcoming and for students. When you see teachers not putting effort into those things, when you see it's not because they don't want to. It's because that burnout is setting in. And then with a pandemic, now you're trying to educate kids in the midst of a pandemic that most of us have never gone through. And our kids who are very social kids have been without that socialization almost 2 years. And then you throw them back in a social environment. Some have forgot how to socialize properly.
Wow.
Which you have
a
lot of different factors that go in with that lack of socialization that has occurred due to the pandemic.
Okay. That's amazing right there.
When you start seeing teachers, their normal routines start to change, and you see that they're not putting in the effort, when they're not smiling, when they don't have those joyful attitudes. And a lot of it is not because they're not liking what they're doing. It's because they're burnt out. They're tired. They're stressed.
Yeah.
When you see them start missing a lot of days, you know, and I want to clear one misconception that people have about educators. You know, a lot of people say, well, you have summers off. You know, you have all summer to rest, and you get paid in the summer. This is what most people don't understand. Teachers, we elect to have our contract, our pay spread out over 12 months.
Yeah.
So we're getting paid, whether we get paid for the 9 months we're in the classroom or the 12 months, we elect to get it spread it out over 12 months so then we can get paid in the summertime. Because in the summertime, what a lot of teachers are doing is they're doing trainings and professional development to prepare for that upcoming year. And they don't get paid to go to those trainings and professional developments during the summertime. So a lot of teachers are planning on how to do better instructional-wise in the summer. So even though we don't have kids in the summertime, the teachers are still working because they're still doing different trainings and professional development to prepare for things to come for that next school year. Not to mention we have summer school. So we also have summer school. So there's a lot of teachers that do teach in the summer. So those are things
you
need to understand. We don't have free summers. We're working.
I'm glad you said that, because you know what that sounds like to me? When you said that, woman of God, Carrie Williams, it sounds like professional athletes have their regular season, but then there's training camp, and then there's off-season training as well. So it's like you really, really, really don't have a whole lot of time left. You got to take a straight-up, 1 week, 2 week vacation where you just break ties from everything, and I don't think most people realize that. And I'm telling you, I've been blessed with 5 daughters. They're all adults now, and I have not always been fully cognizant of the commitment that it takes teachers to be able to do their job. And then why is it that people that are so committed have the issue about receiving proper pay? Is the pay issue, is it comparative, like for different districts, or just in general, teachers are just being underpaid?
In general, teachers are being underpaid. Now, pay does fluctuate from district to district, But overall, mm-hmm. teachers do not get paid what they are worth.
Wow.
And that's just the bottom line.
Okay.
Most teachers, if you talk to most teachers have a second job.
Oh,
and that's comparison a lot with, oh, yeah, that's comparison a lot with police officers, firemen. A lot of times they have second jobs because of the pay. And we have to do that because, you know, $40,000 a year is not going to take care of you and your family. So most teachers do have to get a second job to supplement their income. So that brings on another amount of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm not working.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, is it also the benefits as well as the low inadequate pay? Is benefits also issue? Health benefits?
And yes.
Insurance?
Yes. And let me tell you why. Because every year when we get a cost of living increase, our insurance
mm-hmm.
premiums go up. So it's almost it's wiping out the cost of living increase that we get because our insurance goes up. And so therefore it's like we're not getting anything.
That's crazy. Wow. I'm gonna tell you this, woman of God. Here is the issue that I have always surmised. Being a woman of God, being a Christian disciple, follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have a spiritual perspective in your job. You're not just an educator, but you're looking at life through the lens of biblical information and instruction. So my mind has told me, and I'd like for you to elaborate, that the strategy of our enemy, the enemy of men's souls, the devil, he's invisible, but he's real. Just like God is invisible, but God is real. He strategically has emboldened the issue of church and state. And so there's been this battlefront of prayer in the schools. When I was in school, we put our hands on our chest and we all said the Pledge of Allegiance, and prayer was an acceptable means in the school. And there was no such thing as school massive shootings back when I was in school. Now, growing up in Detroit, there were issues of certain maybe gang association or being in a gang in neighborhood where pistols and firearms may have been accessible. But we did not have these massive school shootings like they endured at Columbine and other places of education. And I believe that it was a strategical spiritual plot against men and children to have the presence of God through prayer removed in school. What do you think?
I believe that has a lot to do with it. And also, that is why we have partnered with the Pine Bluff Ministerial Alliance of Pine Bluff, because we have ministers from around Jefferson County to come in
mm-hmm.
and sit with our students. They are there
mm-hmm.
volunteering. They're there if a student needs to talk, because a lot of the emotional needs can sometimes be addressed through the spiritual needs.
That's right.
So we allow our students to have that choice. It's nothing that we mandate on them. We allow them to have that choice because we understand that, you know, prayer has been taken out of the school. But we also tell our students, whatever faith that you believe in, whatever higher power that you believe in, when we do our moment of silence, that's when you can individually pray, do whatever it is that you need to do to make you feel better during that time.
Amen.
But I think
Amen.
It is extremely important to allow our faith community inside of the school for students that need that and want that.
That's good.
That's how we kind of bring that in, because a lot of times they can address things that we can't address. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
students can identify with them a little bit better than they can with us.
Amen. Amen. That's word there. That is so good and that is so true. So there, again, I believe that's where we, even though we may not have school-age children, we are still available to mentor, make ourselves and our time available as we have the opportunity. Now, before we go on to our music break, woman of God, I understand that you have a particular event for us father figures to come into your educational platform and then share our presence. And how much of a difference does that make for you and your peers, having father figures come in and contribute time and wisdom and to just show overt care and concern to these children that don't even belong to us by blood, but belong to us by community?
Well, one thing that it has done this semester that I've done it, we have not had any discipline incidents while we've had our father figures on campus. Their presence, just their presence, makes a difference in our students, and not just our boys, in our females too, because we have a lot of females without male figures in their home. So it makes a difference with all of our students, just with them being there. If all you said was good morning, have a nice day, that right there, that makes that's a powerful difference, because a lot of our students come to school and they have been woken up with yelling, and they hurry up, get dressed, and you're going to be late, and they start off things negative. So it's important when they come to school for them to be welcomed with a smile and with someone who truly is happy to see them. So a lot of times just having our men stand at the door and just say, good morning, I hope you have a good day, or you looking good today, or anything positive, it turns our students around, and it makes a big impression, just those small little things. Their presence changes a lot of things that our students do.
Amen. And I'm glad you said that, because what I would like to do and attempt to do right now is to share some sensitivity to the presence of the male father figure. God created man and woman with their own distinct personality as well as vibration. You could tell when a man of maturity walks in a room, just like a woman of maturity walks in a room. They carry themselves with a noticeable distinction. There's a certain pride. There's a certain speech that comes from them. They posture themselves in very positive ways, and the vibe that you get picks up from everybody in the room that these are approachable people, these are confident people, and I do believe that children can pick this up, and it gives them a sense of security as well as identity to be able to relate to, this is somebody that I want to be like when I grow up. What say you, woman of God?
That is completely true. I've had so many students to tell me that, you know, they don't have a father. They don't know who their father is. They haven't seen their father in years, or they've had two or three fathers, and all of them have left them. Having those men there, you don't have to have any ties to Watson Chapel. We want you to come. If you're a positive male in the community, we just want you to be there. You know, you don't have to have a child, a niece, nephew, cousin. You don't have to have anybody related to in the community, because there are so many good, positive males out here in Pine Bluff.
Thank you.
Sometimes they ask, well, we don't know what we can do. Well, I'm presenting you an opportunity. Just show up. It's very informal. All you have to do is just show up. Our kids need you to show up, and our kids need you to be consistent. If you can do those two things, you'll be a great father figure for our district and any other district here that needs male presence. Just show up and be consistent.
Show up and be consistent. And it's even better if you are a saved person that has a spirit of God and some biblical understanding to lead and guide you as well. And if you are not a Christian person, we want you to show up anyway, and then just look around and see the examples around you, and then we just ask you to just follow suit. Amen. Goes right there. And that is an event that takes place, which is Father Figure Friday, every last Friday of the month, unless there's a holiday, correct?
That is correct.
Amen, amen.
And we do it from 7:30. We do it from 7:30 to 8:15, and then we do it again at 12:10 to 1:10.
Amen. And that's so that we can try to accommodate your schedule as best you can. And we believe that if you are committed to investing who you are into our children, we believe God will make a way because he always has. Here's woman of God that will be joining us for Shine Out of Spotlight. I can't wait. I can't hold it in. Woman of God, talking about First Lady Jennifer Wilson, celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ at this Christmas time. Amen.
Wait a minute, baby. Let's not take Christ out of Christmas. It is not your birthday. All right, it's all about Jesus. It's that time of year to be of great cheer. Celebrate the Savior's birth. Some argue the date. Me, I await for Christ to rapture up his church. All the savings and sales. Buy me this, I'll buy that. Some say Xmas, I'll never see that. Red suited men, elves step back. I believe we need more Christ at Christmas.
Wishing you a merry, wishing you a merry, merry, wishing you a merry.
That's why
Christmas.
I'm wishing you a merry Christmas.
Wishing you a merry, wishing you a merry, merry, wishing you a merry Christmas.
Happy birthday,
happy birthday, happy birthday.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Amen, amen. Fire, the gospel experience. We are all up in the neighborhoods, in our communities, in our homes with some biblical inspiration and principles that can help us to live better and to be better. Not just do better, but we want to be better. We want to actually live the Christian life that our Lord Jesus died for us to live. Amen. It's not a front. It's not a fakery. It's not tomfoolery. We are people that have been convinced that the Bible is the inerrant. That means no mistakes, no mistranslations, word of God himself. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior that is acceptable in the sight of God so that we can have peace with God the Father who created all things and ourselves. It's the mediator, Jesus the Christ, that makes all of the difference. Thank you, woman of God, First Lady Jennifer Wilson, for celebrating and uplifting our Savior Jesus the Christ on his birthday. It's all about Jesus. He is the reason for the season. Everything else, that's another holiday that we don't know nothing about, even though we know what's going on. Woman of God, my special guest here is educator extraordinaire Kerry Williams, and we've been discussing different topics relating to education and our youth. Before we get to how parents can get more involved with their much-needed assistance, I would like to just ask about this modern-day technology that we have. It is so wonderful. It has been such a wonderful tool through this COVID-19 virus during that first year when schools were being shut down. Thank God that the doors are being opened to certain degrees, even though we're seeing different variants of this disease take place, the Delta variant and now the Omicron variant. But we believe God has everything under his will and control. But I would like to address this one issue, woman of God, Kerry Williams, about what about maybe some of the adverse effects of technology, the exposure, or shall I say the overexposure to certain social media outlets, to certain programming that may be inappropriate for children at teenage, adolescent years that may also present challenge to educators?
Well, that's a good point. What we have seen is a lot of social media issues that happen outside of school causes problems within school. So a lot of what I call the social media drama, it plays a huge part within the school because students are having a hard time communicating with each other. And that kind of goes back to that socialization. So a lot of their communication is happening through social media. And they feel they can express themselves any way they want to through social media. And when they do that, it usually causes a problem. And they bring those problems to school. We've had multiple instances where things that didn't originate on our campus, that maybe happened on the weekend or in the evening after school, but it has circulated on social media and brought problems within the school. Students are very smart and clever when it comes to social media. They know how to get around a lot of things. But parents, I encourage you, check your students' phones. Check their pages. A lot of times they have multiple pages. So go in their phone and check their pages. Look at all of their social media. We had an incident when we had a student to delete a lot of things off of social media, but other people had screenshotted. So we were able to get the full picture because other people got involved and they had screenshotted certain messages and things that were, you know, done on social media. And this is not just high school and junior high kids. You know, we've had incidents, fourth and fifth graders with social media. Parents, please be aware of what your students are doing on their phones. Their phones are full of technology, and a lot of times they use them in the wrong way. So please check your kids' phones daily and keep up with modern technology. There's a lot of things I don't know, but I have to Google, you know, a lot of phrases and things that kids put in their text messages. I have to Google them to figure out what those things are so I can kind of stay up with what is occurring, you know, because kids are very smart. They're very intelligent when it comes to the technology.
Yeah. And you know what? That is interesting to note because on top of the heavy load of work requirement and training, we also have to stay ahead of what is going on socially. In our lives, because like you said, there is a glossary of urban terms. Sometimes we have to go to that glossary to figure out what is the latest slang word or lingo. And then not to mention, woman of God, that sometimes this modern day technology that we have can be used for adolescent terrorism, bullying.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what are we going
to
do?
And we're trying to explain
Go ahead.
We try and explain to students and teach them about cyberbullying. We try and get them to understand that when you bully someone online, it's the same thing as bullying them face-to-face.
It is.
And, you know, a lot of kids don't understand that because they're lacking that communication protocol or the understanding of appropriate communication, and they don't see it that way. So we have to explain it to them, and we have to get them to understand that there's a difference in one incident of you going back and forth with another student or another teenager, you know, and then there's a difference with multiple instances of you intimidating a student. So there's a big difference because sometimes parents feel, okay, my child is into it with somebody or they got into a fight, so this kid is bullying my child. That's not quite the way bullying works. Usually bullying is consistent intimidation, and that's what we try and look for, not the back and forth between each student, but it is that intimidation, that unwanted intimidation towards another student. And a lot of times it takes us a long time to investigate those things because we have to look at everything. You know, we're looking at text messages. We're looking at social media sites. We're pulling cameras from the school. We're trying to find, get a good full picture of what is going on with that student. And, you know, that kind of leads me into parents and what we need from parents. Parents, we just need you to be involved. Last thing as an educator that we want is for our first contact to be on something negative. But a lot of times because of the lack of communication, and I'm not saying who's to blame because sometimes, you know, it's both sides. But sometimes that lack of communication between parents and educators, sometimes the only time we get to see each other is when it's something negative. And a lot of times parents will come to school because it is something negative. And because they haven't had that opportunity to build a relationship with the teacher or the administration, then they're coming in mom, I call it mama bear mode, because now they're coming to defend and protect their child when they don't know the whole story. And so it just sets up, you know, kind of domino effect of negativism within the school and that interaction. And that's the last thing as educators that we want, because we want our parents to be our partners. We're in it together. We have, you know, 7-8 hours with your child. So we have to work together to make sure we're on the same page when it comes to your child and anything we can do to assist. Because
and
you
I'm
are
say
our
this
best
too.
Resource when it comes to your child.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this too. We know that it seems, according to statistics, that the majority of parents, especially in urban communities, are being run by single-parent mothers. Now, you have the heavy load of the parent, being a single parent, and the heavy load of the teacher. It's almost like an atmosphere for some type of uneventual friction, which need not be, because we understand that it is a heavy load. So how do we deflate any potential friction as an educator, knowing that 9 times out of 10, the parent may come in wanting to side with the child, or maybe even possibly knowing that this is a problem child, and they themselves have reached points of being fed up and full of frustration. So I know that that could be potentially a tense situation right there. So I understand why psychology training is so needful for educators, but what would you suggest to all of the educators out there to prepare themselves for any type of parent-teacher conference, knowing that there may be issues with their child?
Well, what I have done with a lot of parent meetings that I've gone on, especially when, you know, I'm told, well, the parent is not for what we're trying to do. So I go in and I am very welcoming, very calm, and I am prepared with the facts. Not my opinion. I am there with the facts. So I present the parent the facts, and then I ask the parent, this is what is occurring. How can you give us some insight on how we can help? We need your help. We need your input. What is it that you feel we can do, or what do you feel is wrong? Because I don't want a parent to think that we're making all the decisions. We can't make decisions without that parent. We need that parent because you bring us valuable insight.
So I
sit down with parents, and I want them to understand that I value everything you bring to the table as that child's parent, because you know them far more better than I do. So
I
need your insight on why you think they are behaving this way, or maybe what changes have gone on at home, or what is it that you see? So then we can come together and put our heads together and strategize and come up with a plan that hopefully can help the child.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm sure that, hopefully, I'm going to say sensible, because I know sometimes it's just difficult parents, just like there's difficult children, and then we sit and wonder whether the children get it from. Well, they say the fruit don't fall far from the tree, from the branch, so we already know. But I'm just believing that once us parents realize that we are here for the good of your child, which is for the good of you as well, because we understand that particular single parent need assistance. They need help. So I think it's just a matter of employing Christian virtues, of letting people know, hey, I'm treating you the way that I would want to be treated. So as an educator, I'm going to say the onus falls on you all. But you know what? I believe that when you all have this understanding and pass it on to parents, that you all will reap the rewards of watching this parent come alongside you all in the good of the child, to instruct the child, to train up the child, like the Bible says, when they're young, and then when they're old, guess what? They will not forget them.
They will not depart. Can I say one more thing before we close out?
Go ahead.
Any parent within the Watson Chapel School District, if you have a problem and you don't feel that it's being addressed, you can always contact me because I will look into it. So then we can try and resolve it. So I don't, you know, a lot of times I get it. Well, I talk to them, you know, I've left messages after message after message, and no one has gotten back with me. If someone doesn't get back with you in 48 hours, you contact me. Don't wait, because we don't want a problem to get out of hand. So if there's a problem, your first line is that teacher, then it's that administrator, and then if you don't feel that you've gotten what you need, or you've been heard, then you can contact me at the district office, and we will definitely then look into it to try and rectify whatever issue that it is. So please don't think that you're helpless. Like I say, we're all partners here. And so we want you to know that your voice matters, and we want to help you as well as you help us as well.
Amen. Woman of God, I would like to inform you that I have an old classmate of mine. He is a good brother. He is CEO and president at Image of Success Incorporated. And what he does is he revolutionized school and classroom culture by increasing parents' student and teacher engagement. His name is Carlos Johnson. He's been a guest on my show, and I'm looking forward to bring you two together so that you all can do what y'all do collectively, and let him show you what he does professionally, and you may have something that he can utilize and something that he can utilize for you for the betterment of all of those students out there that are blessed to have you all. I'm just blessed to have you here with me today, woman of God, to share with every one of the listeners to know that you are there committed, and I believe you are representing a multitude of wonderful educators across this wonderful country of ours. Would you be so kind as to share a number where you can be reached in case mentoring? This may start a Zoom convention where educators get together and you might wind up being a very prominent facilitator for something in the future. Can you share a number or email address where you can be contacted, and social media platforms where you can be reached as well, if you'd be so kind?
Hey, you can contact me. My office number is 870-879-0220. My cell phone number for work is 870-550-3236. My email address is kwilliams@wcmail.k12.ar.us. Again, that is kwilliams@wcmail.k12.ar.us.
Amen.
And you can always find me on social media, Carrie Williams.
Amen. Carrie with an I, K-E-R-R-Y-I Williams, not Y. I'm trying to help you out.
Yes, K-E-R-R-I.
Amen. Woman of God, we certainly appreciate you. And I'm going to leave the listeners with the scripture verse that basically is going to be the biblical inspiration for my summary at the end of the broadcast, which is Ephesians 6 and 4. And we're going to, I'm saying we, woman of God, Carrie Williams and I, are going to submit this scripture verse to you. And ye fathers and mothers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Is that correct, woman of God?
That is correct.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining me. Feel free to contact me as you feel led by Spirit of God in case there's something educational, in case there's something spiritual that you may want to share with me and the listeners. We'll be more than happy to have you come back and bless us with your presence, with your expertise, with your knowledge, and with your love for Jesus. Thank you for joining us, woman of God. I pray God will continue to watch over you, bless you. Motivate everyone around you as well as God motivating you to reach higher and to grow in the fear and knowledge of God himself, because we never stop growing in the knowledge of God. So my prayer for you is that God keep you and bless you, sister girl.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on your show. I have enjoyed talking with you.
Amen. Woman of God, talking about School Improvement Specialist, Federal Program Director at Watson Chapel School District here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, as well as Division of Learning Services at Arkansas Department of Education, woman of God, Carrie Williams, blessed us with her presence, and we sure do appreciate her for that. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Always on the lookout for you anointed, talented, blessed people of God. If you want to be my special guest, all you got to do is find me. I'm on Facebook. You can't miss me. People always tell me, you always on Facebook. Well, God has always given me something to say and to do. That's just my calling. Ron E. Jefferson right there on Facebook. And then you can give me a call. 870-413-0220 is the number to call. Brother gets busy sometime. I'm not going to put you off. Leave me a message. I'll get back to you. I love to hear your story. I love for you to share with us the testimony of how God is doing great and mighty things for you, how God brought you back from way back where you were and transformed your life. We want to hear your story. So get in touch with me so that I can have you as my special guest, just like I did one with Kerry Williams. And just like I will soon be shining the artist spotlight on Woman of God, my dear sister in Christ, you're talking about a loving Jesus woman. I'm talking about a unique gospel artist. I'm talking about a woman of God that just has so much vibration. I just had to bring her back. I'm so glad she know how to be impromptu and drop some things and say, yes, Brother Ryan, I will be there. I'll be happy to come on fire the gospel experience. She's been here before, and it's because her love of Jesus. I'm going to make sure that she keeps coming back. But right now, we're going to hear from man of God, Calvin Bridges, as we continue to celebrate the Christmas holiday in the right understanding and celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Reclaiming Christian, right? Christmas right here on this fire gospel experience. Here's Calvin Bridges. He wants to run and go tell it, talking about the birth of Christ. Not Santa Claus, not Rudolph, talking about Jesus the Christ.
Sheep one night, from the heaven shining was a star so bright. Suddenly angels sing, peace, goodwill to men. Go and spread the news over and over and over again.
Calvin Bridges right here on this fire, fire, fire gospel experience. Don't you know that's how we roll here This is the portion of Fire, the gospel experience, where you anointed gospel artists come on to this Fire gospel experience and we just blow you right up. We ain't got no shame in our game, because this is the time where we want you all to be blessed with the anointing that God has given you so that you can expand your territory. Amen. Goes right there. I just want y'all to know one thing. This woman of God right here, Lord Jesus, she is a unique phenomenon gospel artist. She does it in her very own way. So without any further ado, let me just introduce this woman of God so that you all can be blessed by her anointed gospel ministry. She is none other than the First Lady of the wonderful church where her husband, yes, I said her husband, is the pastor, and she will let you know that they are so in love with Jesus that it don't make no sense, but it ain't got to, because she is here to give God his just due praise, his just due honor and glory. None other than First Lady Woman of God, Jennifer Wilson, is here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus sent you here. Bless you, woman of God. Jesus sent you here to be with us. How you doing?
Yes, he did. I'm doing so very well. You made my evening today. I thank you so much for having me, brother.
Amen. I called her, y'all, because I just said, listen, I have not had the presence of this woman of God coming and blessing us. It's been a while, and I just felt so led. I said, ooh, please, Holy Spirit, free up her calendar right now, and then bam, there you were right there. So I'm just grateful to have it. Listen, why don't you share for those that have not had the pleasure of hearing you on previous broadcasts, tell us a little bit about yourself and what makes you so in love with Jesus.
Amen. Well, that's easy to say, because he's just been better to me than I've been to myself. And anybody that loves me that much that he's willing to allow his only begotten son to die for a sinner like me, that I might be redeemed and reconciled unto him, that I won't have to spend my eternity in hell, is worth singing for, is worth praising, is worth giving him all the glory. So long as there's breath in my body, if I had 10,000 tongues, it would not be enough. I'm going to give God his praise.
You better give God his praise. When did you start singing praises unto God?
Oof. Well, I've been singing for a while. I've been singing for a while, but I thank God that I didn't start singing until after my grandmother passed on to be with glory. And I had told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you use me to sing instead of sing, because you know there's a difference.
Okay.
Because when you sing, you got a couple notes. You know, somebody will say, okay, that's all right, bless your heart. But if you're singing, they'll take their shoe off, and you'll be wondering if you're going to get hit. They'll throw the ticket. They'll come running down the aisle. Sing it.
Oh, Lord.
And,
amen.
The Lord allowed me to do
so. I sure was about to ask you to explain to the difference for those that don't know, because I already know the difference between singing and singing. Because a lot of people were really scratching their head. They thought you was mispronouncing that. They don't know you said that just like you meant it.
Yes, just like I meant it. Because, see, when you sing, they got a lot of people that do studio. Studio is sing. You know, they fix the notes up, and
that's right.
But when you sing, that's when the Lord allows you to. There's something in the notes. There's something that can get into a person's heart, like the Word of God, and go down to the marrow, and they can feel what you're saying. That's where the ministry is in singing.
Yeah. Amen. I love it. Let's give a shout out to the pastor, your husband, and your church members, please.
Yes, I am married to Pastor T.L. Wilson of Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church here in Twinsburg, Ohio. Yes, Real, R-E-A-L. And I like to thank God for him publicly, as well as my church family, who really do a good job supporting me and encouraging me, because, you know, as an artist, I'm a little different than the mainstream, but they love
understand.
Me anyway.
They don't understand it. What you mean you're a little different? They don't understand it. What you mean by that? Because we about to play some of your music.
Well, I don't believe in inspirational music. I believe that either you're warm or cold, or the Lord will spew you out. I don't want to be a lukewarm artist. So my songs, you never have to guess or sit back and think of an ex-lover or a situation. You'll always know I'm singing about Jesus. And I like to sing a lot about the situations that arise, the things that we don't talk about publicly, that people might get the breakthrough that they need privately through and by the word of God through song. So those are my objectives.
Amen.
And, you know, this not everybody, And the beats don't always sound like traditional gospel, but I guarantee you I'm fasting and praying as I'm laying every track and asking the Lord, the Holy Spirit, for his guidance. So it's all God, and if you don't believe it, test the lyrics. Test the lyrics, because the enemy is not gonna rebuke or cast out the devil. You know, so for those of the pharisaical spirits that are listening, try the spirit by the spirit and listen to the lyrics.
That's all you got to do is just check and see for yourself. And then let your spirit be a witness that, that's anointed. Here is woman of God right here, because I'm about to get my praise on with my dear sister in Christ, First Lady Jennifer Wilson. She's going to do some traditional gospel music. You already heard her singing Wishing You a Merry Christmas in her own renditional style. Here she is singing one of the classics of Christmas music, which is the celebration of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Woman of God, Jennifer Wilson, singing Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin
Christmas to you, woman of God. You sure did do that thing. I love that version, girl. You still got it. See, now you say you're unique in the way you do things, but you can still do some traditional stuff. That's all good. You blessed us.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, that's my daughter singing that along with you. So praise God for the opportunity to sing with her. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then,
you and the daughter. You and the daughter. This is talented women of God. Amen. Listen, woman of God, you have so much music out there. What is the inspiration? Where does it come from?
It truly comes from the Lord. He inspires me. He wakes me up. Usually I get most of my songs at 3 a.m. He'll just wake me up out of my sleep. Sometimes I'll hear the whole song. Sometimes it's different pieces of a song. So I'm just blessed to have a studio in-house where I can just go and start working on the tracks right then and writing.
Amen. Well, that ain't no coincidence. I know you and the bishop said, look, we need to have a studio in the house because I can't keep jumping in the car with my pajamas on and running down to the studio every time you get that intuition. Amen. That's a blessing right there.
Amen. Yes, yes. We're very, very blessed. Thank God. Thank God for it. Because, you know, bishop ain't going to let me just run out of his house at 3 in the morning to go nowhere. That ain't happening. Before Christ, after Christ, it just ain't that kind of household.
He ain't gonna do it. He ain't gonna do it. Now I'm blaming him. He is not gonna do it.
I wouldn't even ask him. I wouldn't even ask.
Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. So tell us about your latest project, talking about saving Christmas. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, this Christmas album is named after the title, Wishing You a Merry Christmas. And then it has about 6 songs on it. You heard 2 of them, Wishing You a Merry Christmas, which is the cover of it. And then also Silent Night. But Salvation This Christmas is one of the songs that was written that the Lord gave me on how we need to repent and believe and receive Christ this Christmas because it's all about Jesus. All of the songs on there are very near and dear to my heart. He gave me a song for those who have suffered loss during this year due to COVID and for other reasons. I had a couple of relatives that I lost throughout the year. And it was Missing You This Christmas, which is a more contemporary song. So all of the lyrics have to do with the healing that we need, that's necessary in order to continue to move forward.
Amen, amen. So what is the plans that you believe God has for you in the upcoming new year of 2022?
Well, in 2022, I talked to my team, and the Lord had given me a song, an album called Second Coming. And we finished that in 2020. And the Lord didn't allow us to release it. And we were wondering, when would the release date be? So they kept saying, officially Lady J, which is my artist name. Officially Lady J, you know, we need to release it, or when are we going to release it? Because in 2020, we had released 3 different albums. So the Lord was just downpouring
music.
So for 2022, on February the 22nd, 22, it's the drop of Second Coming. And I was like, you know, I'm not into numbers, but it's entitled Second Coming, and it's going to drop 2-2-2-2. So, you know, for those of you, you know, who have iTunes or whatever platforms you listen to your music, make sure you search and follow Officially Lady J. So when that album drops, you can hear it. I'm telling you, God, if there's something in there you need to hear, God is going to bless you. I really believe that that's going to be a blessing to God's people.
Amen, amen. So you got it, listeners. Her government name, her Christian name is Jennifer Wilson. But to be able to download her music, you got to go to Officially Lady J. So let's get that understanding so you won't be lost. Because I'm telling you, this woman of God here has some very unique sounding and energetic music that you can listen to all year round. Even her Christmas music will sound good in June and July. It don't matter. This is my sister girl, woman of God, Jennifer Wilson. Looking forward to having you come back so that we can sit down and have a little bit more lengthy discussion. Whenever you are available, you send me a message, woman of God. Say, Brother Ron, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, and I'll be ready for you. How's that sound, woman of God?
That sounds perfect. It is always a pleasure to speak to you and your listeners. Thank you so much. When you ask me, I'm never too busy to come and visit, Brother Ron. You were one of the first people that showed me love and support when I came into this business. you know, formally, and I'll never forget that. And I'm always thankful and praising God for the mighty ministry that you have, man of God.
Thank you. I'm never too busy to stop by. Bless you. And guess what, woman of God? That ain't going to change. You're going to always be in my prayers, and you're going to always get my support. That is woman of God. Woo! First Lady Jennifer Wilson right here on this Fire Gospel Experience. I pray God continue to bless you, marriage, husband, ministry, your hands on. I pray God bless it and multiply it for his glory and for your good. Now, that's the best prophetic word you're going to get all day, and I don't mind giving it to you.
I receive it.
Bless you, woman of God. Look forward to having you come back. Jennifer Wilson, right here on this fire gospel experience. I can't tell y'all enough how much you all bless me when y'all come in with that beautiful spirit that God has blessed y'all with, and then y'all come in with testimony about fire, about the goodness of God. It just does my heart good. Makes me feel like I've been back in church again and again and again. So don't y'all worry. We're going to always make sure that we keep God first in this ministry right here. And then we're going to make sure that whatever it is we can provide to bless you with, we're going to pray and ask Holy Spirit God to use us as a vessel to be a blessing to you. And yes, guess what? I'm talking about you too. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm officially Lady J. And when I need fire for gospel experience, I'm listening to Ronald Jefferson. Have a merry
Christmas. What's going on, family? What's going on? This is Jerry Royce Live Worldwide, a.k.a. the Batman from Charm City, Maryland, and you're listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with Ron E. Jefferson, right here on Positive Power, XXI Christian Media.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The gift.
It's something about this time of year. It's something in the love we give. It's something about the gifts we share. To let our loved ones know we care. Drinking carols, spreading Christmas cheer. God has blessed us another year. So we gotta give them the praise he's due. Because the greatest gift is you. Give his life to save our souls. His love is unconditional. It's the greatest gift that conquers all. We're thankful you make all things new. We're thankful for your word is true. We're grateful for all you do. We're thankful for the gift that's you.
Sacrificed his life in our place. His substitutionary death was what freed God to be able to shed his mercy, grace, and love on us, even though we hardly deserved it. Man of God, Leander Stevenson, was right here with that beautiful new song talking about the gift. And we want to thank woman of God, Annette Clark, wonderful manager, promoter extraordinaire in her own right, for sending this anointed gospel music. I would just like to just share with you all from the thought of Ephesians 6 and 4, talking about admonition. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, admonition, what does that mean? It's an authoritative counsel or warning, similar to a reprimand, a rebuke, a reproach, a lecture. It can even be a criticism. In some cases, it can be a reproval or censure, even a condemnation, but it's all done from a positive vein. And the scripture verse should automatically take all of us grown folks back to our long ago adolescent days. Y'all remember when we thought that our parents were old fogey dogies, just wanting to spoil our harmless fun, even though it wasn't always as harmless as we pretended. And then with those friends that our parents forbid and told us to stay away from, and we didn't. See what happened? It seemed like there was a certain independent joy and freedom to disobey our parents every now and then. After all, they wouldn't never find out. They would never know, right? Wrong. We were so wrong and failed to realize that, yes, our parents were once children too. And they had already been and done everything that we were still trying out and did. As family is the first and most assuredly to be the solid foundation of home, neighborhood, city, state, and nation, God first gives instructions through the Apostle Paul to the believers in the Ephesus church and to us as well, to the children to obey. Why? Because we are the parents are following the same instruction for life in obedience. Not something that we pick and choose, but a distinct way of life, a way that is so pervasive that when people hear gossip or scandal, that those who truly know us will not even receive it or believe it. And listen to this. The people that know us sometimes will even dare to defend us as we would do the very same for them that we truly know. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why? What's the benefit the children have? They're simply put, because God says that it is right. Right being the fundamental principle behind righteousness, which is right way, walking, talking, and living, even when no one except God is listening. That's right. This principle of obedience matures right along with the child from adolescence to adulthood and becomes honor. There is never a time for any disrespect for father and mother, no matter the situation or circumstances, even when they may be dead wrong with court-approved proof. Listen, we cordially and politely dismiss ourselves from further conversation that would or could lead to contention with a humble, yes, sir. And yes, ma'am, I'm talking about with no smirks or frowns allowed. Why? Because as we were their children who hadn't been where they were, even as adults, they are still ahead of our pathways of life, still journeying down roads we have still yet to travel. So the respect that we would want as we age should be the same and more for our elder fathers and mothers that have earned and deserve all our sincere honor. Giving you some inspirational information so that you can be blessed by right here on this fire gospel experience. Amen. Talking about admonition from Ephesians 6 and 4. Here's my homeboy from Detroit, Darius Twyman, continuing with this Jesus, Jesus, Jesus celebration with Carol of the Bells, and then we'll explain why we ringing these bells. Hallelujah!
Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, draw cares away, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, the meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is our song,
with joyful ring. All caroling, one seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air, and oh how they pound, raising their sound. Oh, hill and dale, telling their tale, gaily they ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here and merry, merry. Every home, ding dong, ding dong, ding. Ba da ba da, ba da ba da, ba da ba da ba da da da. Hark all the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Oh, how they pound, raising the sound o'er hill and dale, telling their tale.
Yes, we ring those bells to announce the arrival of the Messiah of the whole world during this Christmas holiday. You're tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience, reclaiming our Christmas holiday. We're not letting Santa Claus and Rudolph and Mr. Snowman and chestnuts roasting on an open fire take away from the preeminence of the truth of Christmas that is the birth of the Savior of the whole world. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. This is the Christmas holiday, and we're suggesting that, you know, everybody else that got this different Christmas holiday, why don't y'all go on and get together and pick another date on the calendar so that y'all can do all that other stuff that has nothing to do with the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and celebrate Christmas on your own. Get off of our Christmas holiday, because we're not changing. We're not going to let y'all hijack our holy celebration with Santa Claus and Rudolph and all them other folks. So we love you, Jesus, and we're going to continue to call it what it is. It's the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, we are discussing admonition, because the Bible says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And prior to that, we were just saying that it is crucial that we as parents always honor our elder parents, because listen, they have earned it and they have deserved it. And this is where we parents must continue to be humble and caring in raising our children. Why? Because our children will not always be children. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Verse 4 of Ephesians 6 from the Living Bible says, and now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. Now, some call it hard love, really. It reminds me of when I hear some parents say that we're our children's parents, not their friends. And that is to say that the two objectives are exclusively polar opposites. Being strict is the best way to get their obedience and cooperation. You remember when we heard it said from some parents, I brought you here, I brought you in this world, and I'll surely take you out. Well, thank God for our domestic laws that hold abusive and mean parents legally accountable for parenting out of control or parenting on the wild. Yet, these same laws have made many children to feel a certain amount of leverage over their parents to somewhat finagle ways to legalistically stray away. Yeah, I'm talking about parenting is certainly an ongoing balancing act, like, you know, the tightrope walker, fearful of any slip of foot with every step. But the Bible says rather to bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. But with our memories of what we thought was fair, right, and wrong should be the measuring rod for our children-parent relationships. Why? Because remember, we are all children in the sight of God, and we all need loving care, kindness, and forgiveness no matter what age we are blessed to arrive at. That's the main principle in parenting and our all relationships. Basic is what the Holy Scripture tells us in Luke 6:31, to treat others as you want them to treat you. Amen. Goes right there. Listen, you all, I have always had a wonderful, wonderful time here fellowshipping with you all and giving God his just due praise. I want to thank my special guest, woman of God, Carrie Williams. She is the School Improvement Specialist, Federal Program Director at Watson Chapel School District and Division of Learning Services at Arkansas Department of Education, as well as woman of God, First Lady Jennifer Wilson, in our Shine Artist Spotlight. You all have blessed me, so I am just so grateful for each and every one of you all. Want to leave y'all with this final word, and then I have some powerful recommendations. The final word is, well, let me give you the powerful recommendation. I want to recommend to you all to go on YouTube and hear the message of Dr. Miles Monroe, where he speaks about thank God for Christmas. YouTube, Dr. Miles Monroe, thank God for Christmas. And then I am reading a fascinating and phenomenal book, because a lot of people in the black community feel like that Christianity is the white man's religion, but that's not true. Here's a wonderful book that has just been awarded for its excellence by Pastor Jerome Gay Jr., entitled The Whitewashing of Christianity. Going to break through some of the myths, some of the restrictions, and some of the barriers to the truth of people of black and brown African culture that have contributed to Christianity that has just been eliminated and whitewashed. Again, Pastor Jerome Gay, The Whitewashing of Christianity. I'm reading that book now, and I'm so glad that I am, and it is certainly a blessing. Listen, I would like to leave you all with this one final word. Amen. We're going to get to it. And that is, if you're celebrating Christmas without acknowledging the birth of Jesus the Christ, you are only worshiping gifts and presents. Amen. That is the sanctified truth right there, right there. I leave you all with woman of God, Angel Starr, as we celebrate the life, the birth, the ministry, and the sacrifice, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ during these Christmas holidays and throughout all the year, upcoming 2022 and beyond, with one of God, Angel Starr, as we give God his just due praise and lift him up. Y'all be blessed in Jesus, and blessings on you for the upcoming 2022 new year. Be blessed in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Share the rhythm of my life.